the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Truth is our bitch. And very, very happy to be with you. I advise you to stay close to us on Facebook, on Twitter. Stay close to us at philhendryshow.com as well, as we update you continuously on our plans following the 24th of June. Things are solidifying, things are hardening, things are pulsing, things are getting rock hard.
Would you watch it, please?
Sorry.
See how they laugh?
I'm sorry. Things are, you know, firming up. Well, that's... Things are getting, you know...
Stiff.
Shut up. I mean it, bud, because she's pissed already.
Yeah, you know, right off the bat.
Sorry. Things are getting to a point where we're going to be able to announce with, I think, a fair amount of certainty what we're going to be doing. If there is an agent or manager that happens to work on my behalf listening right now and you're panicking, thinking, what does he know that I don't know? Don't worry about it. I'm just sort of expanding on things. I am inflating things. I'm pumping things up. I'm making them big. They're swelling up. And,
you know what, I'm going...
Margaret, take it easy, will you? Okay, it's just me ad-libbing. I'm not trying to go in that direction.
Well, then please, Phil, know that there are women listening to this program. Know that I am a woman as well.
I didn't do anything. I didn't say nothing or nothing.
I've got my eye on you. I'm eyeballing you.
Okay, let's just be cool. Let's just be cool, because we've got a big show here tonight. We have an awful lot that we need to talk about. There's been all kinds of news, and certainly we want to remind you that our website is at philhendryshow.com. Right now there's live streaming video of our show. You can watch a video cast. If you have a backstage pass, you can watch a video cast. This is Customer Appreciation Month, and are people appreciating us, Robert?
Yeah, a lot of new sign-ups on Customer Appreciation Month. A lot of people are taking advantage, you know, of the backstage pass. And if you sign up, you get free seating and everything like that.
A lot of people are confused about it.
What are they confused about?
About the number of the CDs you get.
Well, I don't know what's confusing about it. All you have to do is if you get one free month, you get 1 month sign up, you get one free download of a best of CD. If you do a 6 month sign up, you get 3 free downloads. If you do a 1 year sign up, you get 5 free downloads from our shop. It's all there at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. So, as you know, ever since the spring of 2012, it's been that long, I embarked on the legendary diet that took me from close to 300 pounds down to my strapping, fighting weight at present of 215 to 220 pounds. Yes, I did get it down to 210, and then things beefed up and bulked up, you know, and...
Swelled up.
Shut up.
Hold on. And so I'm up to 220. But I continue to eat, I think, in a very healthy way, except for yesterday when I got that bag of Snickers. Oh, God.
Yeah, and I told you that you were going to suffer an adverse reaction.
It wasn't the adverse reaction. What do you mean adverse reaction?
Didn't you say you felt like your head was going to blow up?
I didn't say my head was going to blow up. It was hot. Very, very hot here in Southern California. The temperature is close to 100 degrees. That's why. It wasn't the damn Snickers I was eating. My head was going to blow up.
You said your head felt like it was going to blow up.
Yeah, because of the heat, man.
Well, then what was wrong with these Snickers?
They had almonds in them. It tasted, it was bad. And potato chips. So it's back to the, you know, it's back out on the beach running like an animal. I also did a small video blog that I put on the website concerning dog crap on the beach. Now, I don't want to be some aging creep that is bugged about dog crap on the beach. I don't want to be an old guy who suddenly takes life's small problems and turn them basically into like the European bank crisis, you know? And the dog crap on the beach!
Well, that's what you did.
No, I didn't. All I said was that there's dog crap on the beach. So if you bring your dog out to the beach, please make sure the thing doesn't crap on the sand. That's all. It's no big thing. It's not asking a lot. Just, you know... When you bring your dog out, just pick the crap up or have the animal not crap, and then he can crap in the car, something like that. I think that's a great suggestion. I know, hold it, Rover, till you get into your master's car and then let it go. I think that's fantastic. Over the weekend, I watched some soccer. Congratulations. I know, it's called soccer, and it's no American audience is really interested in soccer, or maybe that's what you think. Well, times are changing, baby. Anyway, here's something that Americans are interested in. It was a soccer riot. Paris, the streets of Paris were filled with a bunch of rioting French Cars burned, vandalized, ransacked cafes, security fences laying on the ground. A landscape of desolation reigned on Monday night around 9 p.m. in Paris after riots broke out during a celebration to honor Paris Saint-Germain's first French league title in 19 stinking years. The Paris Saint-Germain football club had planned to celebrate its third championship title in France, received the day before, but the festivities planned between players and fans were cut short. 5 minutes, hardly time for photographers to take photos of the players lifting the trophy in front of the Eiffel Tower. After these Paris riots, following the victory of PSG, officials were keen to express themselves via a statement. Was this written in France or something?
Why?
Because it seems like it was translated into English. It doesn't seem like it was, the original was in English.
What are you talking about?
It seems very awkward, the phrases. The English is awkward, as if it was originally French. I can't explain it. It's like this. After the Paris riots, following the victory of the PSG, officials were keen to express themselves. It doesn't sound like it was written by somebody whose English is their first language. Anyway, the conclusion you can draw is that there won't be any more events like this in a public place for Paris Saint-Germain, Paris Police Commissioner Bernard Bucalta said. Today should have been a day of celebration for the city of Paris. The party was spoiled by a few hundred troublemakers who have nothing to do with football. Well, that ain't your call there, Your Honor.
Yeah, but he's the cop.
He's the main cop in charge. What are you talking about?
And so he just gets to make that call?
Well, we don't know what the laws are there. The laws there may very much say that the police, in the case of a police emergency, that's what you don't see. Let me just...
Oh, look at you, taking your glasses off and getting comfortable.
I want to just... You see, Phil, and people listening to the Phil Hendry show, they do things differently in France. They are cultured. They are a people that I like to think are a cut above.
Oh, God.
Take it easy. Excuse me.
Yeah, but that's not fair.
Excuse me. So that when the... What are you doing, bud?
They're taking these glasses, trying them on.
Don't try my glasses.
Look like Mr. Magoo.
Give her glasses.
When the parish... What are you doing?
Is this yours?
Yes, that's my pashmina. Give me... What is he doing wearing it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you look like a fairy.
Will you guys knock it off? Yeah?
Never mind. You know, all three of you, all three of you... If the devil had a hotline, if he had an anonymous tip line, I'd be 24/7 on that thing. What are you laughing at?
If the devil had an anonymous tip line, you'd be 24/7 on that thing? What, are you informing on me?
You should have seen yourself...
You informing on Mr. Henry? That's the question.
No, he should have seen himself. You had a face on you, Phil, that would have scared... It would have scared the pig-faced people in Twilight Zone.
Yeah, okay. God. What scared the pig-faced people in Twilight Zone was the normal face on the girl.
Say that again.
What scared the pig-faced people in... Well, you never mind. All right, so in Paris they had riots, and the football was nuts, and everybody went ape, and the cops there, they get to call the shots, and the city council doesn't, even if they... I don't even know if they have a city council.
You're in Paris. What did they do there when you were there?
What do you mean I was in Paris? What did they do there? I didn't visit their city council meetings.
What did they do?
What do you mean, what did they do?
Well, did they have cops? Did they...
Yeah, they had cops. They got... Paris is one of the best-run cities I've ever seen in my life. I may think this or think that or think something else. I was in Paris prior to the whole Freedom Fry bullcrap 2001 thing. You know, I was there in 99 or 98, but... that's a town where things run just like clockwork, man. Seems like that way to me. They got cops all over the place. They got soldiers all over there. And it's a gorgeous city, you know. And the cultural, the historical parts of the city are very nice. But I wasn't around looking at the city council.
Well, what were you belly aching to the? You said that you made some complaints. That you lodged complaints.
Yeah, you said you lodged a complaint.
I didn't lodge a complaint with the city of Paris.
Well, what were you crying about?
Yeah, what were you crying about?
What do you mean, what was I crying about?
Said you're all bawling about something.
No, I wasn't bawling about anything.
You, Phil, you know I love Paris, and when you came back and you're talking about Paris as if it was a nothing more than a place where you could go to relieve yourself, that hurt me.
I never said that about Paris.
Well,
Yeah, you sort of did.
No, I did not.
What was the thing about taking?
Paris has outhouses, but I'm not saying that, oh, that's what you were up. Paris, if you go to Paris, you will see that on the streets, on the big boulevards, they have bathrooms, they have toilets, but they're not, you know, outhouses like we know them. They're very nice, and they're right there on the street. You can go in, use it, and leave.
Did you use one?
I did, yeah.
And what was the experience like?
Yeah, tell us in detail.
Will you shut up? Tell you in detail.
Well, I think that a lot of that has to do with your negative opinion.
I don't have a negative opinion about Paris at all. The only negative opinion I had was that lady at the Picasso Museum. I already told you that story. I'm not going to go into it again. And we have to take a break. And whose ass is that? Oh, I'm sorry. It's O.J. Simpson. All right.
God, man, that was totally gay.
I didn't know who that they were. All right, we'll be right back. It's the world famous. Why is O.J. Simpson on TV? Oh, look at that poor man. O.J. Simpson, in the 4 years or whatever he spent in jail, has gone from looking... He's gone from looking bad to really bad. We'll be back with more on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And we're online at philhendryshow.com. There's an official settlement, an official Deepwater Horizon settlement, I think, having to do with the Gulf. Is that true? That and more. We come back.
Truth is our bitch.
I don't know.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Things are coming in.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, we're going to talk with Chef Carl Cedilia. That was the story I was looking for. There is a series of new quarter pounders on the McDonald's menu, and I don't exactly know what this means, new quarter pounders, but McDonald's adding three new quarter pounders to its menu as the fast food chain looks to offer cheaper premium burgers while capitalizing on one of its most popular brands. Chef Carl Cedilia, who is the head chef at Ted's Beverly Hills and is also our nutrition advisor here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, is at a McDonald's on in New York City. This is, you're in Times Square there, Chef?
Right, Phil. The McDonald's here at Times Square on 44th Street.
44th. Now, have you tried these new burgers? Can you tell me, first of all, what makes them different from the other quarter pounders?
First of all, I think McDonald's is a restaurant with a great deal of, God, that's good. I'm having a, yeah. Okay. McDonald's is a restaurant, Phil, that has had a menu, consistently quality menu for over 40 years. Every burger that they try, with the exception possibly the McRib, and there was one time a McBurglar. The McBurglar, as you know, was a children's meal, a McBurglar, a small kid burger that was the beef level.
And hold on, Chef, I'm having a hard time understanding you.
Get out of here. Get out of here. These quarter pounders, I better have a quarter pound of meal in a minute, Phil. You know, we are big believers at Ted's of Beverly Hills for obvious reasons of steak and beef and the great beef dishes, and I love a beef patty. The quarter pounder with cheese has been a staple of McDonald's for a long time, but now they are introducing these new burgers. It's going to replace the meaty Angus. Boy, I tell you, I love the meaty Angus. It was the third pounder, which were among the most expensive items on the menu, around $4 to $5.
Chef Cedilia, is this an effort by McDonald's, in other words, not to make the menu necessarily healthier?
Well, it's trying to bring the price down.
Trying to bring the price down. So, say this again, these quarter pounders, the new quarter pounders are replacing what?
The new quarter pounders are replacing one of my favorites called the Angus. Remember the Angus pounder? The third pounder?
Say that again?
Okay. This was the quarter pounders we have right now are replacing the Angus pounded. Okay?
We're talking about pounded.
No, I didn't say pounded. Hold up.
What are you doing?
I'm just getting saliva. My mouth is watering. Look at the burger. Can I get a... please put a vacuum tube in. All right. The quarter pounder...
Oh, my God. Do you have you have a dental vacuum tube?
No. Excuse me. I've been trying to get an extra saliva. The quarter pounder...
So this is why I think this Chef Carl Cedilia is frighteningly obnoxious. The man is overweight, as you know, and now he's almost gargling with his own spit.
Hold on for a minute. What's going on, Chef?
I'm telling you, I want to tell you another more napkins here to come. That is Angus Burger. This is an Angus Third Pounder, which was among the most expensive items on his menu at about $4 to $5. The Quarter Pounder will come in two of the same varieties as the Angus Burger, bacon and cheese. The bacon and cheese deluxe. The third option will be the Habanero Ranch. Oh, just the deliciousness of that. See, I think that's great, you know.
I can't understand. You think it's what?
That's great, motherfucker. How?
Chef Tredilia, this is Margaret Gray. Are you eating right now?
No, I'm on holiday. Quarter Pounder is the replacement. I did have a Angus Third Pounder. No. Come on. What are you doing?
What happened?
They took away the burger. No. Oh, okay. They gave me what they did, took away the Angus Third Pounder, and they put in a Quarter Pounder, right? Now,
all right, what you have to do is answer my questions and not drool so much over the burgers that you're eating. Is that okay?
They just make sure they don't throw away.
Well, let me talk to the manager there.
This is what I'm talking about. He's drooling and he's acting like an animal, almost like someone that needs to be chained to a wall.
Did you hear what I said there, Chef?
No, he wants to talk with you. Hello?
Hi, what's your name?
My name's Reggie.
Reggie, how are you? It's Phil Hendry, and we're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, sir.
The gentleman there, Chef Carl Tredilia, he is doing a feature for my show. He's eating the new Quarter Pounders to tell us how they taste.
Yes, sir, that's okay, but he was creating a scene here with the other customers.
What was he doing?
Well, he was using a lot of napkins. A lot of ketchup was being spread all over the place. He was scaring some of the younger people. There was a great deal of saliva and spit and everything on the counter. So I told him he had to move over here. And the gentleman became upset about that, and I said I would have to ask him to leave if he could not control himself.
No.
And we had to take away one of the burgers.
Why is that?
Because he did not pay for it.
No.
Is that why he's acting up?
Yes, I think he is. No, sir, you have to pay for that burger before you eat it.
Bring that burger away.
I'm going to take it away until you pay for it.
Just pay for the burger, Chef.
I want to have the next one, you know.
What?
Apparently he says he thought he was entitled to an extra one. He'd already taken a bite out of it, and it was so delicious that he wanted to keep on eating it.
Well, just give him some money for it, Chef.
He said to give me more money for it.
No.
Give me more money for it. I cannot let you have that, sir. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you.
If I was anywhere near the city there, I could bring you the money, but I can't do that. Let me talk to him.
I have four of them.
You paid for three. That's all you get.
I supposed to get another one.
What?
I supposed to get another one.
Oh, for God, would you swallow the saliva that you have in your mouth?
I have a chunk of meat.
You what?
I have a chunk of meat that I'm savoring.
Says he's got a chunk of meat he's savoring. That ought to sound familiar.
You little... Ow! God! It was a good joke!
Hold on for a minute. What are you doing?
You heard what he said. I listen to those kinds of jokes once. You get one crack at it and one crack alone, and then it's Katie bar the door.
God, it hurts! Where do I get a bag of ice?
In the refrigerator there.
Man, you really nailed him.
That's right. That's called going downtown.
No, that's the burger.
You don't get another burger. You paid for three. All right, so how does it taste? That's why I had you on. How does it taste?
Well, pretty good. But I was going to have another one.
What?
I said it tastes pretty good, but I'm going to have another one.
Will you quit breathing into the fog? Goon! God, no wonder people are disgusted with you.
I don't know, don't look at me.
What?
I told my door, it's like, don't look at me.
Are the people looking at you?
No.
What?
Uh-huh.
Is that a yes or a no, man?
I think he said, I don't know.
No, I yell.
He said yes.
No, he didn't. He said yell.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, God, man. You breathing? Oh, man. All right. Well, Chef Tredilia, what I'm gathering is the food's damn good there.
I don't know.
You what?
I don't think it's very good.
He says he doesn't think it's very good.
Then why are you eating it and almost, why are you almost inhaling it with gallons of spit in your mouth and people frightened and running away from you?
Oh, my wife would come on top of garbage, probably.
Oh, you're an idiot, man. I can't understand a word you're saying.
Since he says he's guarding it.
I got my arms around it.
You got your arms around those burgers and you're guarding them.
No way.
Thanks very much, Chef.
All right, just hard to do it, Arbor.
And we hang up on him because that's the way we like to lock out of some of these bits. Thanks so much, Chef Carl Chedilia, as he is awaiting the arrival of police for stealing an extra hamburger there. That's fantastic. Hey. Meanwhile, Bud is nursing his testicles, which were nailed pretty good by Margaret with a high heel after that crack he made about he's got a chunk of meat in his mouth. That ought to sound familiar to you. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Yeah. Real good update, Phil. You'll pay for that.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
It is the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We're online at philhendryshow.com, and philhendryshow.com is where you go for your backstage pass. And now, without further ado, we welcome you here on this Monday night, Margaret Gray. What?
Well, may I ask you first, why are you wearing the sunglasses?
I put the sunglasses on occasionally because I'm suffering from not a hangover. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Excuse me.
I didn't ask you, but I asked him, why the sunglasses?
My eyes feel sensitive because yesterday, I think I told you, I ate a little bit of sugar, and as you know, I'm very sensitive to that.
Why do you lie?
Yeah, why are you lying?
I'm not lying. Why do you say that?
Oh, would you come on, Phil? Pull the other one and see if there's bells on it, will you? Phil, what are you doing?
Trying to pull the other one.
Will you?
Ow! Woo! Yeah, that hurts so bad it almost feels good.
That's right. Tell him if he does that again, he's going to pull back nothing but what looks like what used to be a hand, and the rest will be wrist and arm.
But if you do that again, you're going to pull back what looks like used to be a hand, and...
You get the idea, Bud, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm wearing the sunglasses because my eyes are sensitive. Is that fine?
Fine. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this, the Margaret Gray special segment, Celebrity News with Pathos and Poignancy. And the reason why I say that is Dr. Joyce Brothers is dead. Phil?
Don't you want to read more of it?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, that's right. Dr. Joyce Brothers, the pop psychologist. See, I resent that. Could we rewrite that to say Dr. Joyce Brothers, the psychologist? There. Okay, Robert?
No, I mean, we're on the air right now.
I don't care. Do what I tell you.
We are on the air, Margaret.
I don't care. Okay. Dr. Joyce Brothers, the pop psychologist who pioneered the television advice shows in the 1950s and enjoyed a long and prolific career as a syndicated columnist, author, and television and film personality, has died. She was 85. Brothers died Monday of respiratory failure in New York City. Going a long time, Los Angeles.
Whoa. What are you doing there?
I'm reading.
Well, Margaret, you're doing it in a very irritating fashion.
And what do you mean by that?
The lady passed on. Let's have a little respect for her.
I'm having respect. I beg your pardon. You know, just because you're Mr. Announcer.
That's right. And when I hear you being lazy with a copy of the... Read it with a bit of... read it in a crisp and well-paced manner, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
Sieg Heil!
Don't give me the Sieg Heil. Just...
Brothers died on Monday of respiratory failure in New York City, according to her longtime Los Angeles-based publicist, Sanford Brokaw. You gotta be putting me on with a name.
That's his name, okay?
Brothers first gained fame on a game show and went on to publish 15 books and made cameo appearances on popular shows including Happy Days and The Simpsons. She visited Johnny Carson on The Tonight Show nearly 100 times. The way brothers like to tell it, her multimedia career came about because we were hungry. Yes, it was 1955. Her husband, Milton Brothers.
Billy put me all on that one.
Did you get a load of that, Milton Brothers?
All right, read it, will you?
Her husband, Milton Brothers, was still in medical school, and Brothers had just given up her teaching position. her teaching position at Hunter College and Columbia University to be home with her newborn fairly... Oh, I'm bored with it.
Well, Margaret...
I'm bored with it.
Dr. Joyce Brothers has passed on. Very disrespectful of you.
No, it's not. I didn't know I'd have to read so much.
You made this big thing before the show that you wanted to read a news story.
That's right. And we don't have to relive it here for the audience, Phil. I said I wanted to read a news story, and I did. I didn't know I'd have to read The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire, for God's sake.
You got a point, Mr. Henry. Ms. Gray is at her best when it's kind of hitting, you know, just kind of hit and run.
Yeah, let her do a hit and run.
Yeah, I got your hit and run.
How dare you?
Take it easy. In 1955, I'll pick up where Margaret left off.
Please don't use the term pick up and then look me up and down.
I didn't look you. What is it with you? Every time somebody uses some phrase that you find rather suspect, you so look me up and down.
Well, that was really good. You sound worse than Chef Carl Cedilia.
Man, that's a put down.
No, it's not a put down because she knows that isn't true.
Yes, it is. Because the way you gutturally burped that out, I don't know whether those were words or bits of food.
Give me that thing. Dr. Brothers, I mean her husband Milton, in 1955...
Atta baby, Porky.
In 1955, her husband Milton Brothers was still in medical school, and Brothers had just given up her teaching positions at Hunter College and Columbia University to be home with their newborn, firmly believing a child's development depended on it. God!
The longest sentence in the world.
But the young family found itself struggling on her husband's residency income, so this deadbeat husband had to rely on a woman. Yes, a woman. How do you feel, pal? I'm just kidding. But the young family found itself struggling on her husband's residency income, so Brothers came up with the idea of becoming a multi-billionaire, entering a television quiz show as a contestant. The $64,000 question quizzed contestants in their chosen area of expertise. Of course, this was back in the days when they gave people the answers, and so Dr. Brothers was already well ensconced in the winner's column weeks before she went on the show. No, it doesn't say that.
Well, how do you know that's not the case?
I don't, but I think this might be post-quiz show, because she says she memorized 20 volumes of a boxing encyclopedia. Oh, bull crap! And with that as her subject, became the only woman and the second person to ever win the show's top prize. Brothers tried her luck again on the superseding $64,000 challenge, answering each question correctly and learning the dubious distinction as one of the biggest winners in the history of television quiz shows. Aha! Here it is. She later denied any knowledge of cheating, and during a 1959 hearing in the quiz show scandal, a producer exonerated her of involvement.
Now, why do you say uh-huh?
Well, you're the one that was talking about this. Do you think that she was telling the truth?
Well, I think it's interesting if they were doing this and they were giving the answers to people, why didn't they give them to her?
She was too smart.
Well, Charles Van Doren was smart.
Yeah, Charles Van Doren was smart, too.
How do you know?
I don't know.
They had a movie about it. I know you didn't see it.
I saw Ray Fine.
Ray Fine.
Great.
Saw one of them.
Well, it's got to be the one, and you didn't see Quiz Show. What'd you see?
It was close to it. It was, well, Schindler's List.
Yeah, that's not even close to Quiz Show, dude. Not even close to it.
Well, you think of it in a really...
How dare you say that it was like a Quiz Show, Schindler's List? Someone should take you out and soften up that already soft head of yours. I swear to God, let it be me. Let it be me. I bless the day I found you.
Give me that, will you? Is everybody losing their minds on this show tonight?
Man, you thought so thinking about beating up Bud.
No kidding.
That's what I've been driven to.
Let it be me.
Oh, man.
All right, in any event, Dr. Brothers, what time is it? Okay, Dr. Brothers, her husband, not being able to earn enough money to keep tap water on, she had to go and prostitute herself on a TV show, splaying herself in front of the television producers and saying, "Hi, big boy." She exhibited an acumen and tuition that, yes, she may have been in possession of, but possibly not. Later, during the quiz show scandal hearings, a producer, whatever his name is, exonerated her of involvement, even though Charles Van Doren, one of the best-known names in American literature, his entire family's name dragged through the mud, but it was Joyce Brothers. She came out smelling like a rose, baby.
Well, that's Joyce Brothers and Dick Clark, the two of them.
Why do you say that?
Joyce Brothers came out of the quiz show hearing smelling as clean as a baby's you-know-what.
Yeah, smelling like a baby's you-know-what.
No, as clean as... I don't know... Why would you say smelling like a baby's you-know-what?
Because it's clean.
Oh, you... We... Came out clean. What about Dick Clark?
What did you... What did he just...
Yeah, y'all like...
What about Dick Clark?
Dick Clark came out of the Paola hearings the same way. I've maintained for years, and I'm working on a book about this, that Joyce Brothers and Dick Clark, what's going on there?
Well, they're both dead.
There you go, bingo.
That's terrible.
No, that's not terrible.
Yes, it is. You're still working on that book?
Well, I guess I've got an ending now anyway.
2 years later, NBC offered a trial on her, she was offered a trial on an afternoon television program in which she advised on love, marriage, sex, child rearing, sex, love, marriage, and sex. Its success led to a nationally telecast program about sex, love, child rearing, and marriage, and subsequent late night shows where she talked about sex, love, marriage, and menopause, frigidity, impotence, sexual enjoyment. I mean, two ways, three ways. She also dispensed advice on several phone-in radio programs, sometimes going live. She was criticized by some for giving out advice without knowing her callers' histories, but Brothers responded that she was not practicing therapy on the air and that she advised callers to seek professional help when needed. She's the first one to give the old disclaimer, see?
Well, I still think that it set a very dangerous precedent, Phil. You have people listening to these radio. I think it was a dangerous precedent. Now, I think Joyce Brothers was good. But when you get to the level of a Dr. Laura Schlesinger, who I've had my issues with, as you know, Phil.
Well, no, I don't, and I don't care to comment on that.
That's fine. I'll keep you clear of it. I'll keep you well out of it. You too, Bud. You too, Robert. But Laura, if you're listening, you and I, we have unfinished business. We have unfinished business, Laura, and I'll refresh your memory. It was a late winter night, a fire going in the fireplace, a cabin at Arrowhead. A car pulls into the driveway. Its lights go out. All you see is the moon glistening off the snow. Two figures get up.
Will you come on? Whatever you got going on with her, we can hear about later.
Oh, my attorney will be with you.
Despite criticism of the format, the call-in show took off, and by 1985, the Association of Media Psychologists was created to monitor for abuses. Not once have they come up with anybody abusing anybody. They get their kickback, and that's fine. Dr. Drew Pinsky has offered his medical expertise in radio and television formats, first pioneered by Brothers, was among those sharing reaction to her death on Monday. Knew nothing about her history and the $64,000 question, but I did know Joyce Brothers, he wrote on Twitter. She was a pioneer and very, very knowledgeable. Other celebrities including Paris Hilton, rapper Common, and motivational guru Tony Robbins posted bits of Brothers' advice on Twitter, such as the best proof of love is what?
What is it, Phil? I don't want to do it.
What is it? The best proof of love is what, Bud?
Best proof of love is, well, trust.
That's right. The best proof of love is trust.
Oh, you're lying to me. He didn't have that.
Yeah, I did. I just knew it.
Very good, Bud.
I don't buy that. Did you give him the answer?
No, well.
You gave him the answer.
Never mind, Margaret. The best proof of love is trust. Dr. Joyce Brothers has passed on at the age of 85. I'm Phil Hendry, and we'll be right back here with more on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. A Mayan pyramid, an ancient pyramid, yes, an antiquity, if you will, ladies and gentlemen. And guess what? It was bulldozed.
Hey!
Whether it was on purpose or whether it was by mistake, a Mayan pyramid dating back at least 2,300 years has been bulldozed in Belize. Way to do it! Yes! Yes! Yes, we'll be back with the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and more right after this.
Truth.
I don't care about the pyramid.
Bitch.
The lying. This Phil Hendry lying show idiot here.
I tell you, I knew it.
You guessed it.
I knew it.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Desmond Tulane is going to join us in a moment, a member of a construction crew that that did something similar to this next story I'm going to be reading to you, and that is the bulldozing of a pyramid in Belize. Mr. Tulane was a part of a construction crew in the southern part of Mexico in a province down there called, was it Jalisco? It wasn't all the way south, it was Jalisco. And they came upon some kind of an archaeological ruin that first glance they thought was part of a structure of a home that they were going to be adding to, or at least destroying and then adding to, but something terrible happened. They used explosives and blew out of the ground not only the foundations of an ancient temple, of some kind of place of worship, but also destroyed some 300 mummies that had been stored there.
You look like a Mayan mummy?
Well, there was some kind of a mummification of that cult. What culture was it?
I believe it was the Aztecs? Bud, do you know?
Let me look. The Aztecs and the mummies.
That's not the mummy is not a tribe.
Oh, that the mummy tribe?
No, the mummies were mummies. What do you mean, what's the tribe?
Think of it.
Aztecs. And there were 400 mummies or something that these guys just destroyed with dynamite, along with the sarcophagus, the burial chamber, along with extensive damage to this worship, this place of worship, I should say, this temple. And then there was an aqueduct that they had found, some 3,000-year-old aqueduct that they went ahead and purposefully blew up because they were trying to hide the evidence that they had actually blown up. You understand what I'm saying?
No, wait. This is criminality at its highest. You're kidding.
Not really, because, no, I'm not kidding. And what do you mean criminality? The criminality is blowing up. We might as well get the guy on the line. His name is Desmond Tulane. And we're speaking to him here. He is in San Diego. Mr. Tulane, it's nice of you to join us here on the program. How are you?
Yep.
And can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you very well.
Now, what were you a part of a construction crew in Jalisco, and what were you doing there?
Well, we are part of the public works.
So you're some kind of a public works project?
Yes, it was part of the sanitation system that was being put in for the village there on the pond. And then it was going to run, the sanitation system was going to run along with the water purification system for the village there.
Now, when you blew up, you guys were, what were you doing? Why were you using explosives?
Well, the explosives were not supposed to be there. They were not supposed to be there. They were carried there by one of the workmen who were bringing that to a brother-in-law where they were going to have a fiesta. And he had brought the explosives along that he had purchased from a friend. So those are not to be there. But because there was a demolition to take place, not demolition, but I should say the pulling down of the superstructure, they decided they wanted to use explosives.
Why did they decide they wanted to use explosives?
I don't know. To see the effectiveness, to look at the result, I guess.
So these were not, they were not allowed, they were not supposed to blow this thing up?
No, we were supposed to pull it down, yes, sir. But they decided they wanted to see it get blown up. They wanted to take a picture of it or something, I don't know. Because the next day, I understand it went on a Facebook page.
Of what? You guys blowing this up?
Please, Mr. Henry, I want to make clear I didn't have nothing to do with blowing it up. I was a part of the labor crew that pulled down the foundation of the temple, and I'm very sorry for that. But Jaime Bonin was the one who used these explosives, and the pictures were on Facebook and on MySpace.
Okay, so he blew up an ancient Aztec temple. You guys helped pull this thing down.
Yes.
And then you found, and also these mummies?
Well, that was a part of when they were afraid to uncover the dead. You see, that's when we blew the dead up, too. Because it went from being just a project to clear away this old structure to put in the water for purification. But when we found the mummies, we became frightened. And we thought that we had run and had displeased the ancient Aztecan god. And so we had left no choice but to blow the mummy to pieces.
So you blew these mummies up on purpose, just like you blew up the aqueduct?
That is correct, yes. But you must understand that the religion We had the primitive southern Mexican Indians, the Mesquite Indian workmen were with us. They felt that we had run afoul of the tomb, and there was no choice, no choice at all, but to blow the mummies to pieces and to pray to God that the mummy would not, you know, there would be no curse to rectify that which had been done to their ancestors.
I don't understand anything you've just said, but let's just, because I got to wrap up. Then you guys blew up the aqueduct.
Then, yes, we realized we'd gone too far in displeasing what they felt. The Mesquite Indians felt we had displeased the gods, but I knew that I was going to get fired, basically. So you have three levels. You have my brother-in-law who blew up the foundation of the temple just to see what it looked like and get pictures on Facebook. They blew up the mummies not so the mummies would speak to the gods because of this. The Mesquite wished for this. And then, to cover the whole thing up, we decided to blow up the aqueduct.
So you guys wound up using explosives on the structure you needed to pull down because your brother-in-law wanted to get pictures on Facebook, but then you blew up the mummies because the Mesquite Indian workman you had with you didn't want to displease the gods. Is that it?
That's sort of it. It sounds, the way you said it just now, it sounds real weird.
Yeah, let me tell you, it sounded pretty weird coming from you. And then you purposefully blew up the aqueduct to cover it up.
Yeah, to cover up the bulldoze. And that it was not effective because we didn't cover up anything. They found it the next day. They found the bulldozer half. They found the bulldozer with only half of it buried and a mummy. A mummy sitting in the bulldozer. And I tried to get them to believe a mummy was driving the bulldozer. You're not going to get them to believe that.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much for having me on your program.
We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
What's wrong?
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, or online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. A backstage pass at philhendryshow.com gets you just a world of joy and love and frivolity as you follow us with our live streaming video of the show, as well as an archive of amazing thousands of hours of amazing audio. As well as I don't know. There's so much stuff. How am I supposed to remember this stuff, you know? We need to have, as I said, I'd like to have a list of everything that's on the website.
Well, you said to Bud not to do that because you happen to remember. You know what's on your own website, don't you?
That's true, Mr. Andrew. You ought to know if you don't know.
Well, I can't know every little thing. We have the news feed. We have the webisodes. We have the archives. We have the video archive. We've got an amazingly deep archive, as well as the Milwaukee Lion podcast, as well as our daily classic podcast, as well as our daily show podcast. Good God! Oh, by the way, we apologize for not posting today's class. We're gonna have two classic podcasts tomorrow on the website. We were not able to post one today because we had internet connectivity problems at the main computer site. And that was the result of, it was not Time Warner's problem, although Time Warner was very interesting today. I was told, and I actually got on the line with the guy, I said, well, you know, I am the man that, I'm the main man. And
yes, sir, I think that what we're trying to do, sir.
And you said he was Dutch?
I don't know. There was an accent I couldn't recognize.
Yeah, it sounded to me like it's Dutch or Finland. Not don't know.
You don't know whether Dutch or Finland, man.
Well,
it was not. We often hear of the outsourcing of jobs to India. We love to hear about India this, India that. Well, I can guarantee you this: it wasn't Indian. It was not any sub-Asian country. It was not the South Pacific. It was not the North Pacific. It was not Mesoamerica. It was not South America, Central America, in between America, or your sister America. This was a guy from, I think it was a Laplander or something. I don't know.
Oh, would you get serious, please?
I don't know what it was. I shouldn't say it.
Yeah, I'd say it. I got on the phone with a guy. I was talking to a guy. He's all like.
You talk to him most of the time, right, bud?
Yeah.
What'd he sell it?
I go, hi. This is a Phil Hendry show, and we're having connectivity problem. And he's all, What is the place of where you are? Oh, like that, you know.
The what?
He says, what is the place of where you are? And I said, what? He's going like, where are you? And I go, look, I said, are you a dothead? And he,
you get out of here. You didn't say that.
If you said that, I will. I'll call that, whoever that man was.
Dothead.
Don't call him a dothead.
I will call him, apologize to him, and then I'm coming back to finish the job on your testicles. Robert? Cut.
No, none of this, Robert. Cut. I'm the guy that says that. You don't say that at all, and you don't dish out the punishment. I do.
Too late.
Yeah, I've already got an ice bag on it.
All right. I don't care if it was a Laplander or a guy from Sweden or whoever, but the guy was, he was very, very, you know, the dude was pretty direct as he said, I'm sorry, sir, we can't fix it because we need for someone to be there. Now, we've got people that are here, but I don't know that they're necessarily people that are going to be understanding a whole lot of flummery. And so, as it turned out, what we did was we just ran our own little test on it. We found out that we had to recycle some things. That had nothing to do with Time Warner. We didn't even need your help, Time Warner. Thank you very much for being there for us, although you were, when I say there, I mean Lapland.
Phil, are you sure?
I don't know. All I can tell you is the dude. And you were the guy who was saying you couldn't understand him, right, bud?
I couldn't understand a guy who's all like that. I go, you got to slow down, man. And he's all, well, you don't exactly sound like, you know, you don't sound like you're put together all that good. And I go, what? And he goes, anyway.
But did you answer this guy with what every time?
No.
Well, that's all it sounded like you're saying.
The guy was talking. I go, well, what's wrong with it? And he goes, but the thing about the bit that like that.
All right, so you couldn't understand him.
Yeah, so I go, huh? And he goes, you sound like you're put together with spit and glue. I said, you know, I said, go to the horned one, and I hung up.
No, you didn't hang up, because I saw you were still on the line.
Well, I felt like it.
Go to the horned one. Oh, and this guy said to you, you sound like you're put together with spit and glue?
Yeah. And I said, better. I said I talk gooder, or not gooder. I said I talk better than you. He goes. Well, you know, let me be the judge of that. And I said, what?
Well, no wonder he didn't take you seriously. But every other word from you is, what? You know, he's not going to take you seriously.
But what's that supposed to mean?
What did he say?
He said, I can't understand. He goes. Let me be the judge of that.
Let me be the judge of that. This is the guy on the Time Warner helpline.
I think.
Well, what do you mean you think, bud?
Who are you talking to?
The guy in Time Warner. I called Movie Phone, too. And you know what?
Movie Phone? Well, that's a recording.
But I also called the theater. I called Movie Phone.
You know, when you're asked to do something, bud, you should do it.
You're talking to somebody in a movie theater? That's what you were doing. You were talking to somebody on a... you are an idiot, man. You're an idiot.
Well, anyway,
we fixed it. You sound like you're put together with spit and glue. That's pretty good.
I don't think that's funny.
I do. Now, get a load of this. You're not going to believe this. This is just jive, man. What began as a good-natured ribbing between teammates seems to have taken a turn for the sour over accusations of cheating. Last week, after weeks of teasing from his Philadelphia Eagles teammate, running back, this is ribbing that he's getting from running back LeSean McCoy, quarterback Michael Vick accepted a challenge to race. All right. Vick is 32. He'd reportedly had enough of McCoy, 24, teasing him and calling him old man, and he got permission from Coach Chip Kelly to race during practice last week. Well, the old man crushed the competition, beating his younger teammate by about 5 yards in the 40-yard race. But now, McCoy is accusing Vic of cheating, saying the quarterback left before the gun, and he says he has the proof. Vic hasn't replied to the accusations, nor has the video proof surfaced. Somehow it's safe to bet fans won't care either way if the team plays well. Now, they're trying to turn this into an issue, and I would say that either it's an issue that they're trying to publicize the team over, or it's a teammate that's actually trying to make Michael Vick look bad. Or it's a sports reporter by the name of Gabrielle Levy.
Well, there you go right there. That's what I thought. This is a female sports reporter looking for an angle, and she thinks she's got the story. The editor let her run with it, And I think he's letting her run with it all the way out the door and into a sewer, because I think that's where her career is going to be. I'm not saying this is going to hurt her from the standpoint of literally taking her career into a sewer or sewage, but I think the editor has let her run with this out the door, into a sewer, and right straight out into the ocean with her career.
So you think it's a bad story?
Right.
Yes, I think it's a bad story.
Why?
Because I don't think there's anything. I think it's what do you guys, you chicken stuff. Isn't that what you call it?
Well, that's what it sounds like to me. It doesn't sound like there's a story there at all. But I will say the team has a new head coach. The Eagles are and have always been, you know, a team that their fans, the last 30 or 40 years, I mean, ever since their last Super Bowl appearance, when they were beaten by the Oakland Raiders, and they had Ron Jaworski, and they had Dick Vermeil, and they had those great teams, the Eagles have, well, and then, of course, Donovan McNabb losing to the New England Patriots. The Eagles have been a I shouldn't have said their last Super Bowl appearance. What am I thinking, you know?
You ain't paying attention to Super Bowl.
I don't know. The last few Super Bowls I haven't paid attention to because my life has been an upheaval. But nonetheless, the Eagles are a team that there's a lot of drama that surrounds them. There's a lot of expectations. The whole thing with Andy Reid, getting rid of him, the whole thing with Donovan McNabb, et cetera, so on and so forth, getting Michael Vick in there, the season they had last year, you know, interest in the team and keeping interest positive interest in the team, I think would be paramount. So this sounds good-natured to me. I don't think there's anything here that's more than just some good-natured, you know, good-natured ribbing between teammates. Now, the big story of the hour is Jay-Z. And whether or not Jay-Z, the famous rapper, hip-hop artist, whether or not Jay-Z is a vampire. Yes, right here's a picture of him on our Phil TV in HD. Jay-Z from 1930, I say him. It's what some jackball that was looking at pictures in the Schomburg Center for Research in Black Culture came across this photograph, and it went viral. He says, that's Jay-Z.
Well, of course it isn't.
Of course it isn't. But what's amazing isn't so much the ridiculous notion that Jay-Z, you know, that's him from 1939, but the arguments that have been going on in the comments section about this. I mean, they're hysterical. You know, that anybody would even, that people are even talking about this. For instance, here's somebody say, well, I think it's a time traveler. People need to stop thinking that everything's a conspiracy or the ability of time travel is out there, says Trevor Burden. Yes, people need to stop thinking that way, Trevor, or maybe you just need to stop thinking that people think that way. Anna Renteria, has no one said it? Jay-Z isn't just a time traveler, he's a time lord. Ha ha. Then some guy comes on, a dude with the name of Satoy's Toy Petway. What is that, bud?
I don't know. It sounds like some kind of a Southeast Asian name.
This guy goes nuts saying, are you people effing serious? You can't be real about none of these theories. I mean, he is from the area of New York. That must be him. So in other words, that Jay-Z is a time traveler or a vampire, of course he ain't, but that people are taking the concept seriously is a beautiful thing. I mean, man, that goes well beyond anything.
So let me ask, they think he's a time traveler. What do these dumbasses think?
So I don't think the dumbasses think he's either a time traveler, a vampire, or a member of the Illuminati.
What's that?
Some super-duper groovy council of people that run everything. Now, that's the theories. Those are the theories that were probably put forth by the guys that are, you know, that are trolling this thing. But the dumbasses are buying into it. And so the next thing you know, this goes viral. It's a picture of a guy that looks like him. Obviously, he's not a vampire, but the funniest thing in the world is to think that there's people out there that believe that he is.
Well, what do you think?
What do I think? I think it's a guy that looks like him. That's it.
I don't know.
Get out of here, will you, Margaret?
Yeah, tell he's a vampire.
No, I didn't say that. That could be a relative. But I want to say something that's controversial enough. A lot of people will say, and you've heard them, that black people look alike.
Whites say that. Stupid whites.
All right. Isn't that proof?
No, that's not proof. That's not. I'll tell you what. I could find a white person from a historical photograph, Margaret, that looks like you.
All right, you're on.
Oh, are you serious? I'll do that. That'll take me a half an hour.
You're on. Go ahead.
All right, I will. Are you saying that all black people look alike?
No, but I'm No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that...
Are you saying they all look alike?
No. I'm a liberal.
Yeah, oh, that's right. I forgot you're a liberal. But I can't find a picture of a woman from 1939 or any year that looks like you.
I'm saying I don't have the features that are mimicked.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
No, not yeah.
Yeah. Let's take a break. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I bet you we'll find a picture in this break of you, of a woman that looks like you.
If you do, then, well, I think it's a lie. I think you planted it.
That's it. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Busted.
They busted? Dude, it's a $30 glasses, you jackball. Where's the other ones?
In your pocket.
Oh. How did they bust these?
You sat on them.
I didn't. Did I sit on these?
Yeah, man, you're always sitting on them.
Well, every time you buy those glasses, you sit on them, you lose them, they go in your car, you can't find them.
I don't know, man.
How much did you pay for those?
I think they were about $30.
You've got to be out of your mind to spend $30 for that garbage.
What are you talking about, man? They work fine.
Go to the doctor and... Excuse me. I'm sorry. Go to the doctor.
You come...
I better go get some...
Some Pepto-Bismol.
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
I'm sorry, Phil, but go to the doctor and get your eyes checked.
Yeah, you go to the doctor and get yourself one of those enemas or whatever the hell they are.
Yeah, go get an enema.
What?
Never mind. What if that thing they give you when your stomach is all jacked up?
Some kind of thing that glows in the dark. Glows in the dark?
Yeah, they give you a drink, and then they shut the lights off and your belly glow. I don't know what it is. It's some kind of a... Maybe they don't do it anymore. All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. The Rolling Stones played in Las Vegas last night. Katy Perry came out on the stage. How do I know? We were just watching a tape of it. Did it suck? Meanwhile, police arrested a man who they say stabbed a University of Delaware quarterback. Police say Trevor Sesek, age 22, was arguing with a man identified as 25-year-old Michael Creed. According to investigators, Sesek was with a group of people Sunday around 1 a.m. in a parking lot at 54 East Delaware Avenue in Newark, Delaware. Investigators say Creed yelled something towards the group, which prompted Sesek to confront him. Creed allegedly leaned into a car and then came out as Sesek approached him. Creed allegedly leaned into a car and then came out as Sesek approached him. Police say Sesek grabbed Creed by the shoulder. Creed then allegedly stabbed Sesek several times. Wait a minute. Who's Trevor Sesek? Is he the quarterback? Creed then allegedly stabbed Sesek several times in the chest and abdomen before fleeing the scene. Sesek was taken to the hospital by private vehicle and underwent surgery. Police say he is currently in stable condition. Police analyzed surveillance cameras in the area and eventually tracked Creed down. He was arrested and charged with first-degree assault. Sesek of Limerick, Pennsylvania, is a fifth-year senior at the University of Delaware and a quarterback on the team's on the school's football team. Well, these young people, you know.
Didn't you say that Delaware has a great quarterback?
Delaware's quarterback, one of the top quarterbacks. Who's the guy that's playing right now is from Delaware? I don't remember, man, you know. But nonetheless, I told you that time I saw that fight and that guy that ran, you know, when you're young, especially when you're young men and you've got nothing but testosterone going, one of the things that you will see and probably not be involved in, it's not hard to avoid fights like this. Sometimes you have to let discretion be the better part of valor, especially if you're outmanned, outgunned, or whatever you want to call it. But you will see some stuff. And I'll never forget. I went down to pick up some friends of mine. They said, they called me up. They said, you got to come get us, man. I said, what? They said, we ran out of, we were in an accident. And so the car's totaled. And we need to get out of here because there's a fight starting in the parking lot of this bar that we're at. Now, this is, you know, I'm like 22 years old, so none of this stuff is unusual for 22. you know, you're a young guy and your friends are young and you're all hanging out at places where young guys hang out. Generally, the parking lots of bars at 2 a.m. because somebody did something. And so these two idiots ran into somebody, totaled this guy's car, and that was a whole other drama. And I had to go get these guys. So I drive down to this parking lot that they're at, and I roll right into the middle of a huge fist fight that's going on. I don't know what's going on. I'm looking at these guys, and there's a bunch of guys swinging. Here comes some other guy running toward me. And I roll my window down. I'm looking for my two friends, and I don't see them anywhere. This guy says, "What are you doing here, man?" I go, "I'm looking for some friends of mine." He says, "Yeah, well, get out of here." And I wasn't really going to, you know, challenge him. I didn't see my two friends. And then finally, I saw them running. What they had done is they'd escaped the area. This fight had broken out. So they ran across the street to wait for me there while this whole thing went down. Well, as these guys get in the car, I turn around and look. Freaking car runs over this guy. Not the guy that was talking to me, but one of the people that was in the fight. And then the police rolled up on this.
What happened to the guy?
He got run over.
Oh.
Well, he got run over. I think he lived, but I, you know, I'm pretty sure he did, as a matter of fact. But the cops rolling up on this thing, and it was, and you know what it was? It was in this parking lot.
Well, what happened to him?
I just told you, bud.
Well, he got run over. Well, he lived.
He lived. I don't know. I didn't check with the hospital. I think he lived.
Well, can you be sure?
No, I can't be sure. No, maybe he died. How about that? Is that any better?
Not really.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. I can't give you any more information. All I know is I saw a whole bunch of Orlando police rolling up on this thing, and it was this big melee in this parking lot, like 2:30 in the morning, you know? And it was ridiculous, too, the nature of this thing, and the fact that anybody could have just, like I did, I just wandered into this thing in my little Volkswagen, almost got my ass kicked. Or I would have had to kick a few asses, you know?
Yeah, right.
Well, all right, we'll be right back here on the... But I'll never go to another ABC Liquor Lounge in my life. We'll be right back. World famous Phil... I'm just kidding. Not really. Well, if I need a drink. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. The 24th of June is our last show on the Talk Radio Network, and then we have elected to move on to other pastures. We appreciate the time that we've been with the Talk Radio Network. It has been a most educational period, but we have decided to move into some other pastures, one would hope greener, but that's always the case, no matter what you do in life. You're not really, it's not a comment on where you were so much as it's a comment on where you want to be. And one of those areas, of course, that we're one of the shows that has pioneered the area of digital, man. And that means online, and that means, you know, internet radio, as well as podcasting, as well as all of those areas that have heretofore not been really, I think, exploited by talent, by broadcasters. That's what we're doing. We're also going to be looking at, we're taking a good, long, hard look at the option of satellite. And there's been an awful lot of people who have said to us, why don't you do a satellite show? And my answer has always been the same one, which is there money there? And is it something that's going to be feasible, given the fact that we have a online site that is a subscription site, given the fact that satellite radio is a right now is a subscription service. So is it, you know, does it make sense to have a subscription service and then ask people on that subscription service to subscribe to something else? Well, I mean, there's advertising that is sold in satellite radio, too. So there's, you know, six of one, I'm not even sure 6 of 1, 6 of 1 of the other makes sense in that context, but I'm doing my very best. Now, why do you have 3/4 pounders up there, bud, when we're talking about Angelina Jolie and a mastectomy or a double mastectomy?
Well,
don't say it, bud, or I'm going to smack you.
2 quarter pounders? Ah, yeah!
That's not funny, man. Angelina Jolie, according to news reports, has had a preventive double mastectomy. Now, that's a courageous step, one that I dare say would cause a lot of women to pause, but one of the more beautiful and striking women of the cinema has decided to undergo and has, in fact, undergone a recent double mastectomy after genetic tests determine the actress faced a high probability of developing breast cancer. The girl interrupted Oscar winner revealed the news in a New York Times column published on Tuesday titled My Medical Choice, saying that she wanted to avoid the same fate as her mother, who died at age 56 after battling ovarian cancer for nearly a decade. I wanted to write this to tell other women that the decision to have a mastectomy was not easy, but it's one I am very happy that I made, Jolie wrote in the essay. My chances of developing breast cancer have dropped from 87% to under 5%. I can tell my children that they don't need to fear they will lose me to breast cancer. Angelina Jolie is 37. She has 6 children and said that they have sometimes asked whether she might also end up with that illness that took their grandmother, Marceline Bertrand, in 2007. What?
Well, how'd they find out that happened?
Well, maybe they asked.
Aren't they little tiny kids?
I don't know that they're little tiny kids. A lot of these kids were adopted, you know, by Ms. Jolie and her husband, Brad Pitt, or her partner, I should say.
Well, husband.
No, partner.
Well, no, it's by all... You might as well just say it's husband.
I'm not going to might as well just say it's husband. Why would I do that?
Well, you know, it's pretty just all...
No, it ain't just all. She's either married or she ain't.
Are you trying to make the woman out to be the whore?
No, I'm not. What a terrible thing to say.
That'd be old job. Say them little tiny kids.
Yeah, you'd be saying they're bastards.
No, excuse me. Let the record show that you jackasses are the ones that are throwing that around, okay?
I'm not a jackass, Phil.
Well, then stop with this nonsense about, well, why don't you just say that they're married? They're not married, and they're not married. Now, you know, if they want to get married, they can get married. Until then, he's her partner. He ain't her husband.
He ain't he. You know, you sound like every bit the stevedore that you really are at heart. Really, Phil, at heart, you're nothing more than a swaggering stevedore with beer and bratwurst on your lip. I'm going to the toilet.
Why would that piss you? Why are you going to the toilet?
She always goes to the toilet when she's mad.
You got it.
Well, why are you? What are you pissed off about?
I'm pissed off about the fact that you won't give Angelina Jolie the credit she deserves and the respect she... Oh, never mind.
And the respect she deserves for what? If she's not married, she ain't... You're every bit the stevedore, Phil, swaggering with beer and bratwurst on your lip. By the way, any of you guys out there that are listening...
Hold on, I'm back. No, I didn't mean to offend...
I'm going to say it.
No.
Hey, I'm going to say it.
I'm going to the bathroom. La, 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 la.
Yeah, go ahead. She was offending directly any and all that may work the docks of America.
That what a stevedore is?
Yeah, that's like a dock worker.
It's a dock worker, yes.
And Stevendorf.
Not Stevendorf. That's the guy well, you are a real idiot.
That's what she said, Stevendorf.
She said stevedore, you moron. Stevendorf is the guy that does that electric blue, or what is that thing, Robert?
Yeah, that electric cigarette.
Bull crap.
Hey.
So was he a dock worker?
Stevendorf is not a dock worker, no. Stevedore. Stevedore, not Stevendorf, you dork. All right, so can you imagine that? I almost got into a fist fight. I almost clocked Margaret over that one.
Yeah, that'll be the day.
Would you close the door to the bathroom, please?
What?
Close the door to the bathroom, please.
I can't hear you.
Bud.
Got it. Got to close the door to the bathroom.
All right. So that is Angelina Jolie basically saying, you know, preventative double mastectomy. Once I knew that this was my reality, I decided to be proactive and to minimize the risk as much as I could.
I made a decision to have a preventative double mastectomy. I started with the breasts, as my risk of breast cancer is higher than my risk of ovarian cancer, and the surgery is more complex. Jolie credited her partner Brad Pitt for helping her through the arduous series of procedures, which began on February the 2nd and ended on April the 27th. So to anyone who has a wife or girlfriend going through this, know that you are a very important part of this transition. Oh, you know, a woman going through it alone, man. And I've mentioned before that I had the honor of knowing a lady who went through this, but I met her after the fact. And now I'm reading that what she went through alone, and she had a child. You know, it's brutal, man.
Why did you do that again?
So they won't get breast cancer, man. Look, if you have a high, it's genetic, breast cancer. And apparently Angelina Jolie went through some tests, and they did a whole genetic deal. And, you know.
Yeah, you can look down and see if your ancestors had it, like, you know, if one of the Quakers or something.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. What do you mean, one of the Quakers?
If you had... Hi, I'm back.
What are you doing with that roll of toilet paper?
I'm putting it in my purse, just to make sure... if you had an ancestor with breast cancer, now, for instance, in Utah, they found a very high incidence of stomach cancer. Well, it come to find out that the stomach cancer gene came into this country by way of a couple that was on the Mayflower.
No, you're not kidding, right?
No, I'm not kidding. And it made its way to Utah, where a large concentration of the descendants of these two people lived and eventually did develop this stomach cancer, and that's why it was concentrated there.
Because the descendants of this couple happened to descend, or rather, they happened to move there.
Yes, they migrated there.
Now, why did you say Quaker?
Well, I mean, if you had an ancestor going back to the times of, like, medieval time.
Yeah, like if a queen had it.
You don't have to go all the way back to then, man. You can go back two or three generations. I mean, yeah, you can have your genome looked at or whatever that's called. But, I mean, what she did is she looked at some sort of a genetic test. I don't know what it was. And found out she had a high probability of breast cancer. Her mother had it. That's always a dangerous thing. You know, if you've... it's not a dangerous thing. It's always a very good indicator, in fact, if you have a mother, if you have somebody in your family... And so, this gal that I knew, man, she had this double mastectomy, and she had reconstructive surgery. And I'll tell you what, man, it's amazing stuff. That reconstructive is amazing. They do phenomenal stuff with it. And they are natural-looking breasts, and it's truly, I don't think women have anything to fear. And, you know, times have never been better than now, you know. We're not talking about having to necessarily... have a mastectomy scar. You can have reconstructive surgery, and you have...
Got breasts, but they're not, like, real.
Well, what makes a real breast anyway, bud, you know?
The kind what?
Don't answer that, okay? In fact, I don't want you in this discussion at all, okay?
Well, he has freedom of speech.
Not in this discussion, he doesn't, no. In fact, neither do you, Robert. In fact, neither do you, Margaret. I'll just lock it out. So make sure you do have your... test. What are you looking at?
You spoke to me as if I was nothing more than one of these droolers, and I'm not.
I understand, but I don't want to get into a big discussion about it. Just make sure you have your tests and all of the, you know, your mammograms and your, and, what?
That, what is that, Western Union?
Yeah, that's right, bud. Mammograms are Western Union. And anyway...
Wow.
So make sure you get your testing and all that, and it's going to be fine. Everything is just going to be fine. Don't worry about it. I remember when I was married, Maria had a mammogram, and they found a mass. And we kind of sweated that one, you know, because she was worried. And there's nothing you can say, you know, to a woman who is sweating out the results of a mammogram, you know. You can't say, oh, it's going to be fine. What the hell do you know? You're a guy, you know. Oh, don't worry, honey. It's, you know, this percentages. Yeah, sure. But anyway, so it was kind of a sweat, and this doctor was fantastic. Because the reason why I say he was fantastic, he didn't walk into the room and go, okay, I looked at you. He came right in, and he said, negative.
Because he's dealt with enough women who are on pins and needles waiting for the results. So just as soon as he came through the door, he says, it's negative. So you didn't have to sweat it. And she was so relieved that she got up off the table and walked out into the hallway to the other office. She almost had forgotten to wrap herself in a gown. I mean, she was almost topless walking through the place. I think she just took this thing and put it up over her breasts. And, they're talking about, even though she is an ex-wife. So, yeah, it's a drag, Daddy-O. It's a real drag. All right, we'll be right back at a world-famous Phil Henry Show. Speaking of drag, Bud, you have something for us that you're going to be reading. I think it's a poem or,
Yeah, it's a little, sort of a piece of narration that I'm going to do for a movie that I'd like to test out on you.
All right, Bud Dickman will do a piece of narration for us next on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Okay, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Now, I know that Bud Dickman is going to do some narration. I'm not sure I know what this is about. We do have David G. Hall on the line. Can you tell us a little bit about it, David?
Well, Bud is in line for something very, very rare, and it is not often that a member of the media, no matter what you do in the media, has an opportunity to audition as the voice of NFL films, and we're very excited for Bud.
Yeah.
The voice for NFL films.
That's right. And I...
Yeah, see, Mr. Hall?
I told Bud that you would be a little more gracious, Phil, but obviously...
Well, now, wait just a minute. What do you mean, the voice for NFL films?
The voice for NFL films. I mean, different ways you gotta say it. I don't stutter.
I'm not talking to you right now.
But Phil, it's the voice for NFL films. What do you want me to say? Now, they've had a lot of guys that...
Why him?
Because he got in line for the audition. They've had a lot of guys down through the years. You remember John Facenda, of course, was the great one. Harry Callis or Carey or whatever that guy's... What was the guy's name? Harry Carey?
Harry Callis.
Harry Callis. Some other guys. Jerry Stegan, Dwayne Dubney. I'm making the names up.
Well, that's great.
Well, there's other guys. What difference what their name is?
Because it probably means something to them.
Well, I could care less. The fact is there's been other guys. Who cares? The only guy that anybody really remembers is John Facenda. With any help, with any hope and a little bit of help, they'll remember Bud.
Let me ask you a question. Why am I not up for this gig?
Did you audition for it?
Yeah, you auditioned for it.
Well, you haven't gotten the gig yet, have you?
No.
Okay.
Well, Phil, they had a casting call. You didn't go to it, huh?
No, I didn't go to it.
Didn't your agent tell you?
No.
Well...
You snooze, you lose. You snooze, you lose.
Yeah, if you snooze, you lose.
Oh, is that right? If I snooze, I lose, huh?
Yeah, you snooze, you lose.
You snooze, you lose.
Okay, I get it. If I snooze, I lose.
Don't be a little more gracious, Henry. God.
Yeah, no kidding. Can't you be happy for me?
Well, Bud, I'll say that if this is for real, and this isn't a gag, and this is a real opportunity, I'll say it. Congratulations. And obviously the National Football League doesn't care any longer about anything.
Yeah, I'll suck them then.
Yeah, I'll third that.
Well, that's a fine how-do-you-do. That's a fine how-do-you-do.
You're a fine how-do-you-do to you.
It's not fine how-do-you-do, it's fine how-do-you-do. Look, you see what I'm saying? How could you back a play like this, David?
Look, you always got to back your brother's play.
Back your... What is this, Wyatt Earp? So what are you going to read?
I'm going to read some on the NFL. What do you think?
You're going to read something about the NFL?
He's going to do like a highlight. Where's the music?
Yeah, right here. This is the music that it'll be used. And yeah, there.
Okay, Bud, go ahead and try it.
On a 33-yard line, the Green Bay Packers rolled back and went and down a field. And then came on a third down, and another guy ran.
Beautiful, perfect.
And,
wait a second. Are you guys high on drugs? Are you going to try and tell me that that is what you're going to read for whoever the guy is that's reading this kid? That's an example of his reading?
Well, like, hold on for a minute, will you? The kid, what did you do? Did you turn it down?
Yeah, Mr. Hall, he turned it down.
Let the kid finish.
Let him finish doing what? I'm listening, saying on the third down.
All right, do you have the copy in front of you?
No, I don't. He's got it.
Well, then you don't know what he's reading, do you?
Is that how it's written, bud?
That's none of your beeswax.
Let me explain something to you, gentlemen. This is my show.
I knew you were going to pull that card.
You know something, Phil? This is when you're at your least attractive.
When I...
When you start with a thank you. Everybody out there can hear you being a big fat baby. Let Bud have his moment in the sun. If with any luck, Phil, if he gets this job, it could mean something for you. He might stuff something in your envelope at the end of the week.
Yeah, I might put something in your envelope.
Oh, well, if you're going to put something in my envelope.
Phil, don't belch.
Yeah, that's not good, Miss Henry.
I didn't belch.
Well, I thought I heard some gas. But anyway, let's try this again. Jesus. Let's use that other music, bud. What is that? We need some upbeat. Let me hear it. What do you got? Yeah, baby. That's it. That kind of doot-diddle-doot-diddle-doo. Okay, that's good. Go, bud.
On October the 3rd, 1960... let's say three.
Hold on for a minute. What do you mean, let's say three, October 1960? What is that supposed to mean?
Will you let the kid finish what he's doing, please?
Wait, he doesn't even have any copy in front of him.
Yeah, I do. Here it is.
Well, then what is this? Well, let's say 63.
He's vamping.
Either they know the year or they don't know the year. If something took place in 1963...
A long pass? Are you trying to tell me the only time there was a long pass for a touchdown was 1963? Is that what you're trying to say? Because if that's what you're trying to say, you're nuts. Ain't that right, bud?
You got it, Mr. Hall.
There are a lot of long passes, a lot of touchdowns, and a lot of years. So Bud just said, you know.
And what team?
Let's call it the Baltimore Raiders.
The Baltimore Raiders.
Oh, you guys are kidding. You know what? You're never going to get this gig, man.
Oh, you're so jealous.
What is it with you, man, trying to get this kid jobs he's never going to get? Go ahead.
You wait and see. It'll be great. Okay, let's see. Where was I before you butchered it?
Watch your language.
Here we go.
Yeah, this is it. I like this music. Go ahead, bud.
On a third down from a 22-yard line, the ball was given to running back Billy Berberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberberber the field, and then he jumped over a guy, and then the tackle was almost made. Then, first down, and it was the seconds was ticking away as quarterback Timmy Tuberver. And can I just turn? Wait, I'm not done yet.
Will you quit interrupting the kid?
What do you mean, Timmy? Turn this music off before I flip my lid.
Are there names on that piece of paper that you got?
Yeah.
What is? Let me see this. Bart Starr. How'd you get Timmy Tuberman out of that?
Wow.
Well, I'm glad you find the kid funny.
How does he get Timmy Tuberman out of that?
I don't know. That's between him and Timmy. Phil, you...
All right, so thanks a lot, bud.
You're jealous.
No, I'm not jealous. I'll let you keep working on that. You can keep working on that till the cows come home, man. That's great. You go ahead and you do that for NFL Films. I'm sure that... As a matter of fact, I'm going to give it to you. I hope they hire you, because I'd much rather hear that than half the gunk that I'm listening to, you know, in the thing with the thing. I'd rather listen to that, bud, than Dan Patrick. I'm joking. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
In a 1960, or whatever, 1972, Timmy Tuberman threw the ball for the touchdown in a game of...
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, and online at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com, you know, where life is, it's a beautiful thing over at philhendryshow.com. If you get a backstage pass, then you have access to all of our audio, which goes back over 10 years. You have access to our video archives. We keep a five-day archive up, and we're going to begin to expand that, but for now, just the five-day archive. We also have a year's worth of our Saturday night shows that are both archived video as well as audio, and that's a show we don't do anymore, so that's a
rare find as well.
And, of course, we have our nightly video cast, and we keep an archive of that. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. What were we talking about, Dan? Can you refresh? Because Bud and Robert are out of the room. What was the story? Oh, the guy, Walenda, thank you very much. Where are those guys? Bud?
What?
Where were you guys?
Let's get them
What are those?
Cactus coolers.
Cactus coolers, huh? Why don't you cats come in here when the show starts?
What do you need?
Well, I found out from Dan already what we were talking about during the break.
Yeah, that was the Walenda on the high wire.
I know already, all right? I got it already. So here's the thing. Here's what's happening, and we're going to be getting on the line here Jeff Dowder of, he is a part-time professor of mechanical physics at Caltech University to talk a little bit about the Walenda, and this young man's name is Nick Walenda, his walk across Niagara Falls on a high wire, which was attempted and successfully completed. But the name Walenda probably rings a bell with all you guys because you've heard of the flying Walendas. Well, that was a family of circus performers.
What do you mean circus performers?
I mean, like they were in a circus, you know.
Well, they were like not the Elephant Man. Yeah, that's the Elephant Man?
Not the Elephant Man. What are you, crazy? That's a freak show. That's a sad, sad relic of the past. That doesn't happen. That's against the law now. You mean showing poor human beings with physical deformities?
Well, that's what a circus is.
No, it is not. Have you guys ever been to a circus?
No, I've never been one.
A circus is, at its very best, the circus showed all kinds of marvelous displays of acrobatics, and there were clowns, and it was something that people enjoyed going to, you know.
What about the Elephant Man?
The Elephant Man's got nothing to do with a circus. That was a poor man that was mistreated by these individuals that like to show human deformity and passed them off as some sort of freakish animals. It was a very sad aspect to human behavior, and it was allowed at one time in this country. We don't allow it anymore.
Be like P.T. Barnum.
Well, you know, if you want to be honest, yeah, P.T. Barnum engaged in a lot of that.
Yeah, you're saying about what a great American he is and everything.
Wait a second. What are we going to do here now?
No, you what, man? You said P.T. Barnum. One of the great American of all time, and he was a hero of yours. Yeah, that's what you said.
Okay, now hold a minute. You know, you guys, I don't mind you bringing this stuff up, but it's taking us way off the topic, all right? I said P.T. Barnum was a con man of the highest order. I said, in that respect, I've got a lot of respect for him. I have a high regard for anybody that puts it over on people, because you know what? It's their own damn fault. Having said that, some of the stuff that he did, I don't admire, but I'm not, you know, he was a man who lived in the 1840s, the 1850s. It was a different time, it was a different America. We didn't know anything about, well, what the hell was a Siamese twin? And
what is that? Yeah, they still don't know what that is.
Yes, they do. What do you mean they don't know what that is? And we didn't know about these things. P.T. Barnum collected all of these oddities
Who that midget they had?
Don't say midget. It's not nice.
Yeah, it's like saying the N-word only on a little man.
No kidding? Yes, yes, that's true. Little people is what they want to be called. So anyway, make a long story. I don't even know where I am. You guys have got me sidetracked.
Sorry for asking a question.
Well, don't ask any more questions. Oh, man. Tom Thumb.
Who's he?
The guy that Robert was, the little man.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, no, 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 that's the guy of the book. You said Tom Twist. Remember?
No, it's not Tom Twist. You idiots thought you were thinking of the Charles Dickens book, Oliver Twist, and you're going Oliver Thumb. That ain't the same guy, okay? Oliver Twist didn't even exist. It was a made-up fictional book by Charles Dickens.
You, a guy named Charles Dickens exists. Yeah, I don't think he was made up.
No, he wasn't made up. He was a great writer. Charles Dickens wrote Oliver Twist.
All right. Who was Tom Twist?
There wasn't any Tom Twist, smartass. It was Tom Thumb. Oliver Twist, fake. Tom Thumb, real.
And was Oliver Twist the midge? Or what was it?
Oh, so you're calling him a midge. Is that your way of getting away with not saying the full word?
Well, you can't say that, man. It'd be like calling me. Well, you better not say it.
All right, I'm moving on, and I'm not going to answer any more questions.
I just want to know if Oliver Thumb was a midget.
I'm going to kick your ass. Watch out, that lady called. I don't care if she calls. We had that lady call last night. I don't know if you guys hung around. Mrs. Karen is her name, and she calls every time I threaten to kick Bud's ass because she thinks I'm abusing the handicapped. We had to explain to her there ain't nothing handicapped about Bud other than the fact that he ran his head through a tree at 90 miles an hour once.
Yeah, I got a plate in my head.
Yeah, don't make you any dumber. What made you dumber was being born.
Shut up!
All right. 877-876-PHIL. Look at all the time I'm wasting with you guys. We're talking now about Nick Wallenda and this astonishing feat, walking over the falls at Niagara. Now, it's an interesting fact, folks, that it's a very interesting thing about America. 116 years ago, it was the same thing. We were fascinated with guys that were going over Niagara Falls on a high wire. The country was riveted by this kind of an event back in the 1890s. And today, even though we have competition of all kinds for our attention on television and elsewhere, today it's not much different. We're still fascinated by people that attempt to take this very dangerous journey on a wire across Niagara Falls. Now, in the case of Nick Wallenda, who is an heir to the Wallenda, and I'm not going to get into a discussion of what a circus is because you guys are so stupid, man. I got me sidetracked 10 full minutes. He is an heir to the Wallenda, Flying Wallenda family. They were acrobats. And I was saying to Dan, is this something that genetically is passed from father to son? Because I swear to God, to go over Niagara Falls on a high wire like that, I think there has to be a piece of your fear component missing. I don't mean it's a defeating fear. I think you have to, it can't be there. Now, the guys that did it, there's stories of guys that have gone over the, gone across Niagara Falls on a high wire. Some of these guys do it smoking a cigarette. Some of these guys have got a guy on their back. Some of them sat down in a chair. I don't know how the hell they did that. One guy ate an omelet, you know.
Did he make the omelet on a wire?
That would have been great.
Did he make the omelet up there? I don't know, Bud, but he did eat the omelet.
Probably got it, had to make it at the Niagara Falls breakfast place, then he took that to go.
Yeah, that's probably what happened.
Yeah, that's great, man. Thank you, Robert, for...
You want me to look into that?
No, you don't need to look into that, but that was just... Yeah, they probably made it for him at the Niagara Falls takeout place, and he got it to go.
What?
Just never mind, and let me finish. So, in any event, on the line with us is Jeff Dowder from Caltech. Jeff, sorry it took so long to kind of get into this, but I want to ask you a little bit about this. You're into the mechanical physics aspect of things. Have you been watching the Wallendas?
Well, I mean, one of the things I think you need to understand, Phil, on Nick Wallenda is that, number one, he is safety harness. That means that ABC, which is the sponsoring entity, they televised this event. It was a 30-minute walk across the falls. I will give Nick Wallenda credit for that on account of he took a 30-minute walk on it. But he was safety harnessed, and that means that ABC insisted that Mr. Wallenda wear this piece of safety equipment because they obviously were concerned that were he to fall in the middle of this telecast, that it would redound negatively to ABC, and that you can well imagine a man falling off a high wire, you know, in the middle of the night where people are going, yeah, let's watch, you know, because you mentioned a circus and everything. So,
I understand what you mean, the trauma of it.
Yeah, I mean, basically, you don't want your children sitting there while all of a sudden it's like a night at the circus, then it's turned into the horror of it, where he says, or whatever. I mean, I'm not trying to make the sound of it, but...
I understand. So he's going to fall. They don't want to have that happen. I totally understand that. I did not know that they wanted him to wear that harness, though.
Yeah, for that reason...
What about, I guess, just the basic insurance, or...
I don't know if ABC was indemnified or not, if they had Mr. Wallenda sign. I don't know. I will tell you this, though. You know, as much as I really admire anyone who tests the limits of the of mankind's, you know, ability to, however you want to put it, you know, the way mankind, you know, tests it out and checks it out and, you know, where you're going to go and, you know, go off a cliff. I don't know how you say it.
You mean like risk-taking, like thrill-seeking, like...
Yeah, you know, I mean, I admire that, but I have to say that I think Nick Wallenda, agreeing to wear a safety harness, I think was a little bit CS. And
why?
Well, I don't think it's the same as the guys that did it. Like, you were talking about the last attempt was in the 19th century, and those people did it just totally, totally in the clear, man. They had no harness, they had no wire. So for Wallenda to go, oh, I'm going to go across, I think it's a little bit CS, you know, but, you know, that's just strictly for me to say. I do, you know, I do know a little bit about it because of my experience on the Viper. And
I want to hear about this Viper because I know that you want to bring up your experience as a daredevil, I guess is what these guys are called.
Yeah, technically it's daredevil.
And you have had experience in an area of this kind of thing. We're going to talk with Jeff Dowder. We come back. We're a little bit late to our break, so let's take a break now. 877-876-7445. We're talking about Nick Wallenda, who on Friday night successfully walked across Niagara Falls on a high wire. Sounds like something rather arcane, like out of the past, but we're still fascinated as a country with these guys that go over Niagara Falls and on their high wires. We'll be back to talk with Jeff Dowder about it more in just a moment here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876. With us is Jeff Dowder, professor of mechanical physics from Caltech, who's talking to us about Nick Wallenda, who went across the Niagara Falls on a high wire. And we did take a couple of calls from people during the break, Jeff, who said that going across Niagara Falls on a high wire with a harness on is nowhere near as challenging as, let's say, Evel Knievel.
Well, I mean, I'm not ready to. I don't want to comment on Evel Knievel. I was a great admirer of Evel Knievel. I think he did. I think he was really, the last. I mean, I liked him. I don't think. Yeah, he was the last of the real challenging daredevils, I think. But at the same time, on the same token, you know. It's all sort of illusion because it's never as safe as you. It's never as dangerous as you think. I will tell you, Mr. Henry, you brought up Viper, but I've got an experience that's even more, really more, way more worse than when I was on Viper, and that is that I rode in the front car, and this is a pretty. Not a lot of people have the hair to do this, but I did it as a part of. My experiencing the front edge, I think, of adrenaline rush, and we rode on the front. Or I rode on the front car of King to Ka, which is the roller coaster in New Jersey. And
now I don't know this roller coaster. I know it's ranked as one of the scariest.
Yes, it is. King to Ka is in New Jersey. I rode on it, and I rode on the front of the front car of it. And I did that, and I'm looking up my records right now because I don't know when I do a lot of these. I did the Viper drop at Hurricane Harbor. I did that last year, and the King to Ka roller coaster is fast. It also has a lot of centrifugal forces. It has it's in the parlance of the day, it's badass.
All right, but I mean, I understand. There's certainly roller coasters are getting. Scarier and scarier and faster, but I'm talking about Mr. Wallenda's walk across Niagara Falls here. You can't put riding on a roller coaster in quite the same context, can you?
Well, yes, you can. I mean, if you consider that Mr. Walenda went across Niagara Falls with a safety harness on, and
so even if you went across Niagara Falls with a safety harness on, so what?
Well, because if you're going over Niagara Falls with a safety harness on, and you fall off the wire, and you go down and down and down and down and down, you're not really scared of what's going to happen because you know you've got a safety harness on. So, you know, you're not even going to be scared. And ABC wanted him to wear the safety harness because, as I said, Mr. Henry, if he fell off with no safety harness and you've got Americans looking at the TV tonight and children are seeing a guy who goes, yeah, you know, if you've ever seen people, a lot of people don't scream when they fall from a high height, but you don't really know. ABC can't take a chance that the man's not going to go off and go, yeah, you know, like that, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, what has this got to do with anything, the screaming? Are you saying that that's why he wore the harness?
Yeah, because ABC didn't want to put children through that, but if he has a safety harness on,
he's not going to scream.
No. Because he knows he's fine. He knows, oh, I slipped, you know, and so he's just, like, sailing down, but he knows that the safety harness is on. And
so how does that make what he's doing less threatening or less of a daredevil act than you on a roller coaster?
Well, again, Mr. Henry, have you seen a picture of King Ka? Because I'm looking at it, and I dare you to go on it, on a front car. And
I'm looking at a picture of it. It's pretty radical.
Radical? That's a 90-degree angle, man. Okay? What's straight up and down? 90 degrees is flat. Straight up and down is like 180 or however you want to say it.
Yeah, it's like 100 straight up and down.
Yeah, okay. Are you going to tell me you're going to go on that? I don't think so. And
I'll go. What are you talking about, man? I'll go on it if it's going to, you know, I mean, I'm not going to go all the way to Jersey just to ride on a roller coaster. A lot of people do that, you know.
Well, I can tell you that I am one of those people that will go. I've gone to ride on roller coasters. I haven't been on all of them. I did do California Screamin' at Disney's Adventure. I did Space Mountain. I did the Matterhorn. And I've done those, okay? But I am on my way to do more and more and more and more. And
wait a minute. You just said to me that you've done three roller coasters that I wouldn't even put in anywhere near the class of coaster you're talking about here.
Boy, it's too bad you don't know a lot about, you know, roller coasters.
Well, I don't, but I can tell you, Mr. Doubter, unless I'm, you know, you tell me.
Well, I am telling you.
Okay, so you're telling me that Space Mountain and the Matterhorn belong in the same family of roller coasters as this King Ka?
I'm telling you they are famous roller coasters that are scary, that people go on and go, okay, you know, I done that, now I'm moving on. I mean, I don't know what you mean.
Well, what I'm saying, if there was a bucket list of roller coasters.
That's what I'm talking about.
You're telling me that the Matterhorn and Space Mountain?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the Matterhorn barely qualifies as a roller coaster, you know?
Well, okay, Mr. Roller Coaster Man. I mean, how many have you been on? Have you been on Thunder Rail? Let's talk about a roller coaster Disney. Okay, so you don't have no respect for...
I'll say the California Screamin' comes close.
Okay, what about Thunder Railroad?
Thunder Railroad? Dude, are you crazy? That has got one big curve, and that's it.
What about... Well, you don't know what you're talking about, and what about Splash Mountain?
Hold on for a minute, okay?
No, Mr. Henry,
hold on for a minute. 877-Splash Mountain? Are you got to be putting me on, man. It's like one drop. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The teacup.
Phil Henry.
have that?
I do have, we can get, we have audio, Mr. I've got audio of some of the most dangerous, I mean, I've got audio of myself and people on our staff that have ridden on these roller coasters, also going down the Viper. So the man that you're talking about, Nick Walenda, I don't know what you're trying to say, you know.
I'm saying that it's a feat of daring. You are saying because he's wearing a safety harness, it renders it not a daredevil act.
That's exactly what I'm saying. It renders it no more dangerous than going on the Mr. Toad, you know, Mr. Toad's ride. And
Mr. Toad, T-O-A-D.
Okay, I'm sorry. The Disney ride is Mr. Toad or...
Mr. Toad, the little kiddie ride?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
All right, let me get to a gentleman we have on the line here. He is from Israel. His name is Abe. Abe, were you saying that you have done a lot of different stunts, or were you in the Air Force? What was your background?
From 18,000 feet from a plane, and with a parachute that is closed, till you are 400 or 500 feet from the ground and open your parachute, try to do that and you see the difference. That's daredevil. If you want to be on a roller coaster of any kind, it's scary a little bit, but it's nothing. You're attached to a roller coaster that... you cannot go wrong with that. The worst thing is it may get stuck in the middle if it breaks down. But you're not going to fall down and then get crushed. Daredevil is something that you do that you have no control on it. You try to achieve your destination, but without, you know, you depend on parachute. In some cases, butterfly wings, I don't know if you're familiar with them. That people jump on top of a mountain and fly without.
Oh yeah, I've seen those. Yeah, I've seen those. Yeah, now I want to ask you something, Abe. I want to ask you a question. What category of daredevil act is jumping out of an airplane and opening a chute at 400 feet? I mean, that chute, you must be at a really rapid rate of speed.
You're moving several miles a second.
Good Lord.
Yeah, I mean you cannot say a word. You just count in your head because you cannot really say anything that you're going to hear. So you have to count and be very accurate. 1,000.
How fast are you going?
The way you count seconds, and if you miss it by 1 second, you're done.
Jeff Dowder is with us. Jeff, you've heard what Abe has said. How do you compare riding on the front car of King Daka to that?
Well, I mean, I would say, with all respect to this gentleman, were you in the Air Force, sir? I mean, is that what they're teaching you in the Israeli Air Force?
I was a Navy SEAL.
What's that?
I was a Navy SEAL over there.
Okay. What, I mean, if you're going several miles a second and you open your chute with 500 feet left, you're still going to be, like, crushed, aren't you?
No, you don't.
What?
Otherwise, I wouldn't be talking to you.
Okay. I mean, I know you're talking
to me. You have a heck of a bang on your shoulders when the parachute opens, but that's about it. Then you go down in a normal speed.
Well, have you been on King Daka, or are you, you know, because that
I've been on front of a tank that was moving about 65, 70 miles an hour without a harness or anything else.
Well, I don't know about being thrown off a tank.
No, I was not thrown off a tank, but when you try to be on it, doing 70 miles an hour on a minefield, don't try it. I don't recommend it. Because if you fall off the tank, you're going to blown up. You get blown up.
Yeah, I know, but if you fall off a roller coaster, you're going to be...
You cannot fall off the roller coaster. You've been
off parachute.
You're tied down to the roller coaster. On a tank, when you're on the outside, you're not. You better hold on tight.
Yes, sir, but, I mean, you're not supposed to be sitting on the outside. What's that about, sitting on the outside of a tank?
That's when you're ready to jump off a tank and grab somebody. That's on special ops.
Well, okay. All right, but
they have a special handle that's tied on the outside, and you hold on to your life, and when you have to jump.
Well, have you ever been on the Viper? Have you been on Viper and Hurricane Harbor?
I've been on many of the different things. I don't remember all their names. I'm not a big fan of roller coasters. They don't do anything for me.
Well, here's the thing. On Viper, it's a water slide straight down, and the water's going right up into your you-know-what. I mean, because you're wearing a bathing suit, right?
Yeah.
Have you? Okay, what? So that doesn't do it for you.
Well,
no,
why would this guy...
I jumped in, I parachute into water many times. Try to compare and you see the difference. You hit the water like you're not on a, you're hitting concrete.
Yeah, but you're not on a parachute on Viper. You're just
no, in Viper
down.
You are in a machine that takes you down. You're not free fall.
Well, it's not really a machine. It's a slide.
Yeah, I know. But you're tied to it. You're going to get wet. That's about it.
What he's saying, Jeff, is that,
No, I know what he's saying. He said that he jumped out of an airplane. See, first of all, to quote Clint Eastwood, jumping out of a perfectly good airplane is not a natural act. Okay? Okay, sir?
Big deal. So Clint Eastwood said that in a movie. What else?
Wow, man. Are you telling me Clint Eastwood's full of crap?
He's an actor. You're talking about going down Viper. This man's talking about a parachute out of an airplane. Now, why would that be anywhere near? Why would your roller coaster ride?
Well, okay, let me ask this man here. What do you think about Walenda wearing a safety harness going over Niagara Falls?
Listen,
like
you
big wow,
guts,
right?
You need guts just to climb up there, and I don't know how high that wire is above the water, but just try to be there, and you look in the water. I saw the Niagara Falls many times. I never tried to do anything on it, but just see the water going down. Just the thought that you're there, and if the wire snaps, guess what?
Well,
you're down anyway,
yeah.
With the harness or no.
What about
the guy that did it?
What about the guy that did it eating an omelet?
Whatever, man. Did you hear what the gentleman said? He said that if you're looking down. By the way, the story is that there were 100,000 people on the Canadian side cheering him as he went across, and he went over the falls. He didn't just go across. The guys that did it, I guess, 100 years ago didn't go. He went directly over the falls.
Yeah, but he's wearing, the guy's got a bungee cord or whatever. I just don't get it. That's my whole thing. But, I mean, you know, and I would say to the gentleman I'm talking to, Abe, you ought to try, have you been on, okay, let me ask you this. Did you go on Thunder Railroad?
Yes.
This
one I do remember,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay, what about it?
Listen, they're moving a little fast, you know, 30, 40 miles or whatever they move, and do some curves and turns. But these things what you do is you get a rush of speed that you know, your face exposed to the wind when you're moving fast. And if you're not familiar with really moving fast, like when you jump from a plane that's doing about 500 miles an hour, try to jump from a C-30. That's when you get a really bash in your face when you move several hundred miles an hour and you go down and down and down and you have to count in the head in the same time while you're jumping, while you're moving fast. If you miss it by one second, you're done.
You're going to hit the ground so fast
you won't be able to do nothing.
I don't know how you do that. You know, a guy I know said that he saw a guy shoot not open one time, and he went over to see what happened, and all he found was the guy's pants and shoes. The guy wasn't even there.
Depends on what height he jumped, but if he went from serious height to over 10,000 feet, that guy became disintegrated. I mean, he hits the ground so fast that the body just falls apart.
It's just liquefied.
Yeah, not liquefied, but
you're going to find bits and pieces all over the place.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what they said. All they saw was shoes, a T-shirt, and one glove.
Good Lord.
That's what you're going to see, because the rest of the money just going to fall apart. I mean, when you take a 10, piece 000. Of meat, go to a high-rise building and throw it down to the street, you ain't going to find a piece of meat. You're going to buy shredded meat.
But you know something? Hey, Abe, you know what? If I had a piece of meat and I had a barbecue or a high building, I think I'd put it on the barbecue. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's fine. Very good choice. Abe, thanks so much. That was very interesting.
Sure,
but I still...
Phil?
I still am... Yeah, the name's Phil.
Are you still taking any comments about your first guy that... from wherever the guy that killed the guy that was accused of...
No, we're past that. But we will probably bring it up at a future date. And I do appreciate very much, Abe, you giving me the call. That gentleman was with the Navy SEALs in Israel.
Well, I mean,
that's what...
They don't have no name. I mean, they probably have a Navy SEAL. They don't call it that.
I don't know. He was with a Navy Special Ops, Special Operations group in Israel.
And the other thing that guy said that I think he never really told me is, how do you go several hundred miles an hour?
He didn't say several hundred miles an hour.
Yeah, he did.
No, he did not.
Well, what did he say?
He said several miles an hour. All right, several miles a second.
What?
Never mind, I butchered it up. But what was your question?
My question was, excuse me. I'm sorry, Mr. Renner. I didn't mean to do that.
You've been doing it all hour, so.
Well, I mean, if I have, I apologize.
Okay, fine. What do you want to say?
I forget.
Okay, put him on hold. All right, so this has been a big, fat waste of my life.
Why? It's pretty interesting.
I want to find out what this guy, what he means when he says that the roller coaster. You know what I think? I think this cat's been hitting a bong tonight. That's what it sounds like to me.
Why?
Because it sounds like it. Yeah, man. That and what about Thunder Railroad? Yeah, that's badass. We'll be right back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our News and Information Hour will be coming up next hour. And don't forget, we're online at philhenryshow.com. And don't forget to download the living hell out of all 8 episodes of our free Phil Henry podcast. We'll be right back, Phil Henry Show. Thank you very much.
Truth is our bitch.
I know. Phil Henry Show. I forgot. No, Mr. Henry. I forgot. I know what I wanted to ask.
World famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. With me is Jeff Dowder from Caltech. We've been talking here about the exhibition there, Mr. Walenda. That is Nick Walenda, who went over Niagara Falls on Friday night, on a high wire. The first man to do that in over 100 years. As a matter of fact, he's the first guy to go over the falls themselves, I think. Maybe ever, I don't know. A lot of people have gone across the gorge there at Niagara Falls, and you were comparing his effort, saying it wasn't much of a very impressive effort because he had on a safety harness, and I think, there's been a lot of opinion opposing you here, Jeff, saying no, especially that man from the Israeli Navy, saying that that's quite indeed a feat.
Well, I mean, you know, if you haven't been, okay, so he said he had been on Thunder Mountain?
Yeah, he was on Thunder Mountain. It's nothing, are you kidding?
Have you?
Yes, I've been on Thunder Mountain.
Have you ever jumped out of an airplane?
No, I have not.
Well, then how do you make the comparison, you know?
How do you make the comparison? Have you ever jumped out of an airplane?
Mr. Henry, I already told you that I've been, no, but if you've gone down the Viper at Hurricane Harbor...
Hurricane Harbor, man. You're standing in line for the Viper?
What? What do you mean?
Are you standing in line behind some little kid in his inner tube and his bathing suit?
Okay. You know, yeah, there's little kids in line, but I'm going to tell you something, Mr. Henry. What you do is you just go, get out of my way, kid. And what are you talking about, man?
You're standing in line at Hurricane Harbor for the Viper with little kids in their inner tubes and mothers going up the stairs. Right?
No, a lot of those are going off to the left or to the right to the teeny little one. I don't know what they call it, but it's one for the teeny tiny kids. It's the teeny kid slide, and it just goes it just goes down, and then you're like done. But it's not the drop. It's not the Viper drop. The Viper drop, man, is exactly. I mean, if you were on, if you were Nick Walenda on a high wire, okay, and you fell off with Nick Walenda on a high wire. Let's say that's what happened to you, okay. Then you go, if you go down, every time I go down a Viper, I don't, but I hear people go, help, not that, but...
Well, you know what? You sound ridiculous.
I sound ridiculous. That guy, huh? That guy said he was pulling the cord and shoot at 400 feet. I doubt it.
I think he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, well, I doubt it.
Well...
And if you fall off the Viper or that high wire, you're going Have you ever heard a guy fall off like that, Mr. Henry?
No, fall off what, man? What are you talking about?
Fall off a high wire.
No, but I'm telling you.
Well, here's what it sounds like.
Hold on for a minute. I'm telling you that you're all wrong, and you got your head parked way up there, man. If you're telling me that the Viper, a water slide, is the same as falling off of the high wire, okay?
If you fall off the high wire without a safety harness at the Niagara Falls, it sounds like this. I've heard guys, I haven't heard anybody do it, but it would sound like this because you hit the wheel, okay? Okay, Mr. Henry?
Okay, what?
That's what happens to the human body because you go, and then you hit the water, just like that.
Yeah.
God, man, what are you like? You're pretty cold-hearted, man.
No, I'm not. 877, oh boy, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Let's go over to another phone call here. We have, we got General Shaw with us. Is he on the line? Yeah. General Galen Shaw with us, sir. How are you?
Very good evening to you, Phil. It's wonderful to be speaking with you. And I heard the young man. I also wanted to pay my compliments to the Israeli Navy SEAL. He sounded like a man that that the country and the service of the Israeli Defense Force, of which I have worked and know a great people, great many people. Sounds like they could be very proud of him.
Well, it's good to have you with us, sir. And yes, he was. He was an interesting guy.
Hold on, Troy. I do want to address you, sir. What is your name? Yes, sir. My name's Jeff Dowder. All right, Jeff. My name is General Galen Shaw, and I have served 40 years in the United States Army. I'm retired now. And I wanted to ask you, because you're talking about the water slides, that you're talking about comparing that to a special ops soldier or a soldier that is trained in low-level deployment, or a soldier that has to jump from an aircraft at a very high elevation. You're saying that that is similar to the roller coasters you've been on. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, I'm saying, sir, that if you fall off with no cord on the Niagara Falls, you'll go, hey, whap. If you fall off with a cord, you go, hey, okay, all right, hold on, Phil, because I know you were losing patience, but I want to be patient with you, Jeff. What does it sound like again?
Which one?
When you fall off with a cord, with the cord attached, what does it sound like?
It probably sounds like this guy goes, or, because he's not hitting the water.
But I can tell you that I've heard a man fall from a very high elevation hitting cement. Do you want to know what it sounds like?
I'm not trying to be disrespectful.
No, I know that you're not, but do you want to know? I heard a man fall out of an aircraft and hit a bridge. All right? And this was in Panama. Do you want to know what it sounds like?
Yeah.
It sounds like this. He goes, ah, ha, 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 whap. Because what happens, Jeff, and you don't know this, the realization kicks in that you're about to become essentially liquid. And it's funny.
You tell me they laughed.
You're saying the guy laughed?
That's what I heard, yes. I heard a guy fall out of a C-130, and he dropped probably a good 1,000 feet, and I heard, ah, ha, 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 and then the very clear and very distinctive sound of splat. Now,
boy, that must have been horrifying.
It was very horrifying, but by the same token, it was unexpected to hear him laugh like that.
Well, are you sure it was a laugh and it wasn't just maybe the air current or something?
Well, it sounded like it. It was the very distinctive, ah, ha, 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 splat. Now, Jeff, are you still with me?
Yes, General.
If you've ever seen a Laurel and Hardy movie, they have achieved something that I've never heard achieved since. Oliver Hardy will fall out of something and it will sound like this. Oh, 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 oh. Like they've spliced together a bunch of sounds.
Well, maybe they have.
I'm sorry?
Maybe that's what they do. That's a movie.
Maybe they've spliced together. I don't understand.
Well, what Mr. Henry's saying is, talking to Mr. Henry, not you.
Yes?
You're talking about the Laurel and Hardy movies?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, that's Oliver Hardy going, and yeah, it's old movies. They probably didn't have much in the way of a sophisticated editing process. Maybe they needed more of his comic yelling, and so they just spliced a lot of it in there.
Let me tell both of you something. I've been sitting patiently listening to this conversation, and I put quotes around it, as a former member of the United States military. And in all of my days, in combat, in peacetime, I never, ever felt the way I felt tonight listening to the two of you. I regret very much that I didn't go into the Air Force and serve our country as a member of the United States Air Force as an airman. Because had I would know exactly how to deploy a load of napalm right over your studio.
Okay,
God!
That's that guy. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show News and Information Hour. Wow.
I wonder if you just hang up on me.
Yes, I did.
Then why am I still on the air?
I don't know.
Huh. Interesting.
Yes, it is.
I gotta go now.
Phil Henry.